Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we are gathered before you in so many different ways this morning. We come before you so that we may again be in your word, and that may transform our lives, it may open our heart. And today, Lord, as we hear about this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, we want to celebrate with you. We want to shout Hosanna and give praises to your holy name, and we know that means that we need to overcome our fear. We need to trust in God. We need to see the work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are like the disciples in that moment that we see the Lord and we have the Holy Spirit and we want to trust in everything that you are doing in our life. So Lord, fill us today with your Spirit. Fill us today with your love and your grace and overwhelm us with it, because we know that your promise is great. So be with us, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to your word. And we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I want to welcome you back on Palm Sunday, this exciting Sunday in the life of the church. And it is different. It's honestly really different as a pastor. And one thing I'm trying to understand is usually this is the beginning of a holy week where we lay out the whole church in palms and all these things are different. And it begins this week that is just celebratory and understands what Jesus is doing. And yet I know that we're all in a different place. And I feel like we're just in this waiting game, this moment where what's going to happen next? What's going to happen in this moment? And if I'm thinking about truly Palm Sunday, I'm really thinking that the disciples were in the same way. They were in this what's going to happen next moment. They're in this moment looking at Jesus coming in and understanding that things are about to shift, and they're going, what's going to happen? And I think we're experiencing that in our households. And it happened this week again in our household. Every day at 1:30, we've marked our clocks because our governor in Arkansas comes on and he gives us an update every day at 1:30. And it's so interesting how quickly 1:30 became a time when we gather as a family to see what comes next, and how all of a sudden that became a huge part of our schedule. And so we're gathering and we're just in this waiting game, what's going to happen? What's going to be the news? What's going to be the information? And I'm in the sense of urgency. And then Jess said it yesterday. She said the thing that I knew was coming, and it's been about a week and a half since we've got groceries. And she said, Joe, we need groceries. And that was an important statement because she said, we need groceries. And I've been seeing the kind of cupboards dwindle, and I've been seeing the fridge dwindle. And you know, when you start to get into the freezer, start pulling out those items, that things are dwindling. And I have to say, it was kind of fearful for me because I didn't do very well the first time I went to the grocery store. See, when all this started happening and I realized things were shifting, I went to the grocery store and it was late at night, and I realized I wanted to get it done and get a big shopping trip done and not have to go back. And I went there and I said, Jess, I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to pick up a few things and just text me a list of what you need. And I walked in to the grocery store, and right as I walked into the grocery store, I thought it was just about to close, and I was right. And over the loudspeaker goes, you have 20 minutes remaining, and they had adjusted all their times. So I got this like sense of fear in me, and I was like, oh, I only have 20 minutes and I need to get all the groceries. And so I was like, okay. And I started off by thinking, okay, what will make my family happy? In this moment, what will make them happy? And so I ended up on the aisle with cocoa dusted almonds, because that's a win. And the cinnamon roasted almonds, again, double win. And then it's right next to like the Capri Suns. And I ended on Capri Suns, and I found myself over by like the Icy Pops, you know, those ones you put in the freezer, because that's super important when you're really stocking up on groceries for a couple weeks to get the Icy Pops. And I realized as I was going through that I have no idea what our need is. I have no idea what I need to get as a person looking out for my family at the grocery store when I have 20 minutes and I just need to get the essentials. And then it was, you have 15 minutes until... And I just started, and then Jess texts me, and she's like, we need milk, we need eggs, we need cheese, we need meat. And I was like, oh, and so I'm running over there to get that, and I'm picking all these, and there's nothing left. There's nothing. And I'm like, I'm just trying to grab, I'm buying those like full hams, you know, that are a whole bunch of money that like you get it like turkey time, right, and Thanksgiving and everything else. And I'm getting those just to have something for meat. And as we're getting done, I'm like, I don't know what else to get. And you have 10 minutes. You have 5 minutes. And it's just going faster and faster. I'm like, And so I end up on the canned anything aisle. On the canned anything aisle. And I realized that my question was this. My question that I ended with is, what lasts the longest? For some reason, Pop-Tarts came to mind. I don't know why. I feel like they would last forever. But Pop-Tarts came to mind. I had gotten Pop-Tarts earlier, so I checked that one off the box. But what else ended up is that I went to the canned aisle and I thought, man, canned tuna, canned beans. I got pinto beans. I got red beans. I got chili beans. Like, I didn't know there was that many types of beans, but we have them now. And we're going to be eating bean soup with anything like broth forever is what's going to happen. And I realized that this question was the most important one. What lasts the longest when I was thinking about need? When I thought about want and what makes the family happy, I ended up with Icy Pops, Capri Suns, a 30-pack, Capri Suns, and then Cocoa Dusted Almonds. When I thought about need, I thought about what lasts the longest. And I want you to think about that with our text today, because we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about need with a faith-like perspective and want. What do I want in my own life? And what do I need in faith? And they are two entirely different questions. And so we're going to dive into our scripture to understand that. And we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be talking about the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we're going to be in Luke 19. So chapter 19, at the tail end of that chapter, we're going to be in verses 28, and we're going to read all the way through 40. And as we're reading this, we do have a mission in this church. And part of our mission is that everyone would bring a Bible to church. And so if you're out there in your homes, right now is the time. If you haven't grabbed it yet, if you're not sitting down on the couch and you got it next to you, grab some notes, right? Maybe a piece of paper or a pen, right? And then get out there. And so you can take some notes and you can write in your Bible. You can actually interact in your Bible. But we do say something every single Sunday. We say this, everyone bring a Bible. And so on the count of three, I want your household to shout that. Whether you're there by yourself, whether you got family with you there, I want you to shout, everyone bring a Bible. We're going to do that on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Everyone bring a Bible. All right. So now, got your Bible in your hand. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay, because we have an event on the Bible app. So go into the Bible app and download that. It's on Google Store and then also the iOS Store for Apple. And you can go in there, and on that Bible app, we have an event on there called the Neighborhood Church, and you can follow along with devotions. Last week, we did a devotion called the Grumble-Free Home, and people jumped into that, which was awesome, just talking about how to get rid of all the grumbles in the home. I thought that was a great devotion. You can find a devotion on there this week, and then also, you have message notes on there, links to our giving, so you can jump in there, and we appreciate that generosity. You can jump in and do a lot of things through the Bible app, and you can also do prayer now, and you can talk to other people. You can save that event, so you can look back on this day and be like, yeah, I love that message, and you can share it. So there's a lot of things that can happen there, but if you got your Bible app in front of you, just open that. If you got your scripture, Luke chapter 19, verse 28 is where we're going to start, and here's what it says. After he had said this, Jesus, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as they had been told. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. And he answered, this is great. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Here ends our gospel reading. This is a powerful text. It's a powerful text about Jesus leading into this moment where he's going truly to the cross. And the disciples have heard of this from Jesus. Jesus has said it a few times that he's going into Jerusalem to die, but that he will be raised again. But they're not processing it very well because they have a want for Jesus. They don't understand their need in faith yet. And what they're living into right now is this want, and it's this moment. It's this moment with Jesus, and he's about to come into Jerusalem. This is what they've been waiting for. Do you remember earlier when I talked about this waiting that we're in, and how we're all in the sense of anticipation and in both these places and anxious? We're in this journey of waiting right now, and that's where the disciples are at. They're waiting to see what happens with Jesus. They're waiting for this moment when Jesus says, come here. The disciples are like, this is it. He's going to tell us that he's going to announce his kingdom. He's going to announce that he's the king. He's going to announce that we've been the followers and now we're the followers of the king. And he's going to take control of his kingdom on earth. And Jesus looks to him and he says, there's going to be a colt in town and I need you to go get it. I'm sure the disciples are like, what? And did you say a colt? She's like, yeah, it hasn't been ridden yet, but just go untie it. And they're like, you want us to untie the colt? And they're like, Jesus, if they ask, what are we going to say? And Jesus responds, it's beautiful. The Lord needs it. And I was thinking right now how that would apply to our life. And I was thinking back to my grocery store story and this kind of fear that I have going back to the grocery store, this need now. And I realized this would much be like me walking up to someone else's cart and looking at them and saying, hey, and just pulling out a big like 36 roll of toilet paper and just pulling that out and just kind of shifting it into my own cart. And them going, excuse, why are you taking my toilet paper? Now, could you imagine someone saying, the Lord needs it? The Lord needs it. And this, and thinking about this, shifted my whole thoughts on what this text means. Because you know what? A lot of the times, I'm thinking about my need. I'm thinking about my family's need, my immediate needs around me, and I'm trying to supply for myself for those needs. That's a want. And sometimes the want lacks wisdom. It lacks thinking into the future. It lacks this notion that there's more to come after this. I just want to satisfy my want right now, and I'm not thinking about wisdom. I'm just thinking about my want, and that means I might have to take what I need and take what I want and desire. And so this want lacks all this wisdom, and Jesus is saying the Lord needs it, and it changed for me that how many times do I ask, what does the Lord need of me? And what I hear Jesus saying is, I need your life. I want you to give over your life to me in all that you are. I want you to think that your life is given to serve a kingdom that is greater than anything on this earth, with a promise that is outlasts any moment on this earth. And even in this moment, this season that we're in, this Lent, it's 40 days, and I used to think 40 days was a long time, and right now I'm thinking 40 days might not be too long. In fact, the season that we're in might be longer than that. And I've never thought about that. I've always thought, wow, 40 days, Lent, that's really difficult. It's difficult to give up something. It's difficult to not have desires in that time frame. And what I hear the Lord saying is, what are you thinking about that I need? What does the Lord need from you? And it's our life. Everything in our life. Because this was the moment. This was the moment where if the Lord were to reveal everything in God's kingdom, Jesus would have done it right here. He would have done it coming back into Jerusalem, and there would have been fanfare everywhere, and there would have been not just a donkey, there would have been horses, and there would have been parades, and Jesus would have come in victorious. And guess what the disciples want? That's what they wanted. They wanted a victorious Jesus that conquers all in their life, where they didn't have any more worries or any more fears. And Jesus said, no, I come humble and lowly. I come to fulfill. And what Jesus says to us is, I come with a promise that is greater than anything that you know. And Jesus says, what I need is your faith to believe in that promise. I need your faith to believe in me, that death will not contain me, that I will rise again. And you've heard me say that. Jesus is saying to the disciples, I've told you this, and I need you to believe in me. I need that faith to be in the promise that I am giving you. And with that faith, what Jesus says is, you will persevere. Your character will build. You will have endurance. And that faith will not be for a moment. It will not be a season. It will not just be 40 days. Your faith will be for a lifetime. And Jesus says, my promise is that my life will give you eternity. And you know what happens in that moment? My fear goes away. My fear goes away that my life is not lived in a moment. That my life is not lived for just right now. That my life is lived for Jesus Christ, who has a promise of eternity for us. That's the message that I shout. That's the praises of the Lord. That's the message at the end when the Pharisees are saying, hey, tell everyone to be quiet. In this moment where we can share gospel more than we've ever shared before, when we can raise our voice for the Lord and say, in this time, I still believe, and I have a faith that will endure. I have a faith that will persevere. I have a faith that will be strong, that will be guarded, that I know the Spirit is with me. When we can shout that, Jesus says, if anyone tries to quiet that faith, guess what? The stones will shout then, because it can't be contained. Our faith is greater. It's stronger. It's resilient, and it's humble. It's humble enough to know that the promise is there. It's humble enough to know that Jesus is with us in the work of the Holy Spirit. It's humble enough to know that death is something we no longer fear, but we know of the resurrection. That's faith in Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's Palm Sunday. So my hope this week, my hope is that as you live into the scripture, as you think about your faith, you will ask the question, what does the Lord need of me? How can I serve the Lord and how can I serve others? And it happened this week. As I was writing this message, in fact, there's so many things happening out there. And I was thinking about what does the Lord need of us and how do we understand all those needs? And I get this message from one of our church members. And the message says, hey, Pastor Joe, I just wanted to let you know that we had some extra funds available and I don't know who needs it or how to get it to them, but I just wanted to tell you that we have funds available to help those who are in need, and they use the word need right now. And they said, and we wanted to go to the church and the church can get it out to anyone who has that need. And I thought, this is incredible. And then right after that, another person messaged me and said, hey, Pastor Joe, I just want to let you know we don't have much, but we have some extra that we can give to some people in need. We have some extra finances right now and we can distribute that. And we want to give it to the church so the church can reach out to those who are in need. And I realized what the Lord was saying is that in times of need, God will provide for us. In times of need, people will reach out that we didn't even know were there to say, hey, the Lord's reaching into my heart and saying that I'm going to supply for someone I don't even know because my faith in God is bigger than myself. My trust in God is in the promise and not in my wants and desires. It's in the need of those around me, and I share that need through love. And it looks like so many different ways. That's a response. In fact, if you know someone who's in need, just put it in the comments and we'll reach out. We'll see how the church can help. That's what Christ is talking about. Christ is talking about letting our life serve the Lord. That's the need. My hope this week is that you find that faith in Christ and you ask that bold question, Lord, what do you need from me right now in your kingdom on earth, as I know of the promise of the kingdom in heaven? And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, we are before you today, knowing that we have fears, knowing that we're anxious, knowing that we're pulled apart, that we're in this waiting game each and every day. But Lord, what you have shown us today is that we can ask a different question, not about our wants or desires, but what do you need from us? Lord, what does bold faith in you mean in our life right now? And Lord, that is a challenge. It is a courage. It is a spirit that needs to overflow within us to be given to others. And we witness that daily and may inspire us in faith. May we proclaim your name. May it not be hidden any longer. Lord, may you give us voice. And may you put on our heart where that need is so that the church can be there. So that people who are in need can hear that God is there with them. And this reaches across every one of us in any place. Lord, you know the need and we are here to serve. Just guide us. Send us like you did the disciples. Send us to those who need your love and your grace and who need to know of your promise. It is in these things that we pray, in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen.